This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Addison off of Beltline if you want to come and see us. And I know you might be like, well, hold on just a damn second. It's not a Friday. First of all, language. It's almost Thanksgiving.
That was you that said the word.
No, I could feel what people were saying. And then second, if you come by, ask Mike to show you his phone and his interaction with Sean Sharif about crosstalk that we cannot read on the air. But if you want to come out and see us, we got fantastic food. There are beer specials. You can enter to win Cowboys swag, Cowboys tickets, and we can talk about Peace-a-thon, whatever the heck you want to do. Or we can celebrate your birthday today. Woo!
Yeah, happy birthday. By the way, Kevin, I did send Avery on a journey this morning. He's going to get two cans of cranberry sauce,
getting
25 mouse traps.
Oh my god!
So somebody is
just like the pilgrims.
Somebody is requesting. Yeah, they had mouse traps. Somebody keeps requesting the ham slap. I don't know exactly what number we have.
Colby,
what number donation do we have to get to in order to ask Colby to come up and do the ham slap one more time?
Holland can. Oh, he has a broken arm again.
He can take the slap though, right?
I don't think he's the one taking it, right?
No, he always hits. So, Kevin, what number would we have to get to
for you
to take $10,000 in just donations, not in auction buys?
Yeah,
all right, that's what we're looking for. If we can do that, I will have a ham delivered to the station, and I'll ask Colby if he'll come up and take care of that for us.
And our goal, I'm optimistic, I'm hopeful that we can get to $100,000 raised for My Possibilities. We'll kick into full gear tomorrow, but that site is now up.
Yes, it is. And I think one of the coolest things that we've never done before is we've added a raffle.
Mm.
So if you're like, hey, man, you know, you can buy a $10 ticket. I think it's 3 for $25, and then there's like a layer there. But there's a Luka Doncic autographed basketball that's priced at around $700.
That sounds
and
right.
If you,
his autographs
you
are
could
not
put $10
cheap.
In on that sucker and try and win it. So lots of fun things. Kevin, phenomenal work, dude. Phenomenal work putting this thing together this year, man. I'm proud of you.
Thank you very much. The site is up. Our web man, Josh Clark, is working on fixing it up, so you can just go to 1053thefan.com/peaceathon. Last year's website comes up for that right now, but we do have a link. We can all tweet the link out or post it or whatever. Or if you guys just want to text in and you need to know, we can send the link right back to you.
And it is on our Twitter, at KNC1053, and it's also on our Facebook. I posted it on the Facebook page last night.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. From the 561... good morning, guys. I'd really like to see the gallon of milk challenge. I've actually done that one time in my life, and it was awful. I also made a tactical error.
Okay.
I requested chocolate milk
because
I love chocolate milk, and I was like, I can do it. And
I love chocolate milk.
Yeah, I just drank it at a slower pace, but eventually my body was like, no, I'm done. You have no more capacity for anything. And then I remember when I had to go pee, every step felt like I was being stabbed in the bladder or in the stomach.
No.
It was awful.
So you don't want to do it again is what you're saying.
True.
All right.
But for a certain amount, hey, like the Million Dollar Man said, everything's got a price. From the 214, are the wings ready? I'm hungry. I mean, I already see somebody eating chips and queso. Beers are already being served, and I know orders have been made. So go ahead and make it on out here. I will send these people who are asking the link, and we'll get full into that tomorrow. Bruce Bochy is going to be here.
Yeah.
Derek Lively is going to be on the entire show. Trey Wingo is going to join the show. I'm sorry, did I say that wrong? Derek Holland is going to be on the entire show. Yeah. Bruce Bochy is going to be on at a very specific time.
I need to check the Maverick schedule
one
to see
segment.
If Derek Lively is going to do the whole show.
No, Derek Lively, we're working on that. He is not going to do the whole show that I'm aware of, though certainly we would. Well, yes.
In the future, that'd be awesome to have him every
sick
year.
Last night, though.
I know, so that's going to be tough. That is going to be tough. All right. You guys ready to talk some Mavs?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead and give me cut number 5 if you can. Let's dive into some Mavs.
Keep the screens. Kyrie shoots again. He is H-O-T-T-O-G-O. 5 of 6 in the fourth quarter, and he is raining threes.
Nice Chapel Roan quote there.
Yes. I had to think about that for just half a second. So the Mavs pick up another win, and they've stacked up wins that I know once Luka got hurt, there was some question about that. Kyrie took over in the fourth quarter because he had been having a fairly mediocre evening, especially shooting. But in the fourth quarter, 4 of 5 from three. He was also playing through illness like Derek Lively, although he had to miss the second half, and a few other players. So I thought his fourth quarter was incredible.
They are playing their hearts out.
Yeah, they are.
Really
are.
I
after really not liking the way they were playing, and we'll talk about it here after that Utah game, losing to a horrible team, you're just like, they're not, you hate saying this about professional athletes. They're not trying their hardest.
Yeah.
Like, they don't seem to care about this season. Yeah, they're winning some games, but they're just moseying through. They're just going through the motions. This isn't fun to watch. And they had that meeting, and Luka got hurt. And it has seemed to, like, spark them into just watching very inspired basketball from whoever's on the court. Like, they are trying their hardest. Even the loss to Miami, I'll just go back. They gave it all they had, and they took it to overtime. They just ran out of juice. And I thought last night, going into it, Kevin, I'm like, dude, if they lose by 20, they lose by 20. I get it, man. They've gotten from Denver to Miami to Atlanta. This is a weird trip when you talk about, West Coast to East Coast and then a back-to-back. And they played their hearts out, and they were down by 6, I believe, at halftime after having a horrible close to halftime. And then from that point on, the second half, like, no, we're not giving up. Whatever we have left in the tank, we're going to empty it, and we're going to see if we can win this game. And I think as a Mavs fan, I will speak for myself, and I'll say you should be. I'll put shame on you if you're not. You should be proud of these Dallas Mavericks.
I really have as you were just kind of talking about, the last couple of fourth quarters as well, and really the whole game, because you didn't find yourself in a deficit, and the fact that, because even Kyrie had the quote, I saw it from Grant Athseth, he said, hey, was there any chance you were going to miss the game tonight because of the illness? And Kyrie said, hell no. No, sorry. No, no, no. Didn't cross my mind. I was just thinking about being there for my guys as much as they're there for me. It was a gutsy win. So think about the last part of that quote. Being there for my guys as much as they are there for me. It was a gutsy win. That encapsulates everything I imagine anybody would want in any of their teams.
That is also Kyrie's role, right? Luka is the superstar player. Kyrie is filling every other void that Luka can. And that's what he's like. Look, he's even trying to teach Luka last year. He was like, look, man, you got to be there for these moments, too. These are other things, too. And so that's another reason I think these guys play hard when Luka's out, is because they know that Kyrie's on the court and he's going to give that kind of effort for that kind of night. I saw a number that Derek Jones Jr. last year had 6 20-point games in his Mavs season, and Najee Marshall has 4 already. And I don't know if y'all are like, hey, it's already an upgrade, or how y'all feel about Najee Marshall. But, Kevin, I know yesterday you had mentioned he's better offensively than you expect.
He is. And I know that's not
necessarily. He's shot like S to start the year. And
that is true.
Tremendously now.
And I'm not saying, like, that's the end-all, be-all for all of these players, because obviously we talk about, look, Derek Jones could get it for you occasionally offensively, but you thought about it a lot from a defensive perspective.
Yeah.
But Najee Marshall is a better offensive player than I guess I thought. And we could talk about that. I also wanted to throw another thing out in that mix, if you're okay with it, is we didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday, but I found it to be really, really fascinating. Mike Curtis from the Dallas Morning News had a story kind of breaking down how the Mavs had a team meeting after that loss to the Jazz. I mean, and it could be for a variety of factors. First of all, the Jazz aren't very good, so maybe you didn't see maximum effort, and that's why you lost the game. Second of all, you lost 4 straight games, and they had been by a total of 8 points. And so, once again, I go to Kyrie on this, and he said essentially the idea behind the meeting was accountability, effort, and unselfishness were the main themes of the meeting. Now, I'm not saying that has to point to any one direct player. I'm just telling you. But Kyrie said, we had a nice full meeting in film and just asked about how our effort needed to be better and how we needed to hold each other accountable. It's not just up to the coaches all the time to hold us accountable. It's up to the players to be out there communicating. So there's a variety of things I love about that, not the least of which is it's not just up to the coaches for communication and accountability. It's up to us, too.
Well, absolutely. I do remember, was it Troy Aikman that was like, why do I always have to be the one over here griping at everybody? Was that the Barry Switzer era?
Or yeah, it might have been. It was both. I think it all.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All built up into that moment where Troy was just sick of playing for the Cowboys the way it was run.
But the coaches, they have a responsibility, and their responsibility for the most part is to prepare you for the game and give you the plan and the outline. And then you as a player have to be the ones like raising yourselves up. Look at what Jaylen Brown did for his team last year. Jason Tatum gets all the limelight, and Jaylen Brown was like, I'm taking this over. I am leading this group, and he was the voice on that bench. That's absolutely what has to happen. You can't always just rely on coaches to come in and save everything, because they want to see you do it on your own too. They want to see that you guys have bonded together, have grown something together. They know that that voice gets old after a full 82 games, so other people in that room have to be the voices that are speaking up for it.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I would say with Boston, Jaylen Brown became their best player in the playoffs. I would probably put a lot of the leadership on Drew Holiday and Al Horford.
That's a great one. Yeah.
Now we don't know. We weren't in the huddles. We weren't in the locker rooms before and during the game.
I was going off of the stuff I saw from the huddles on the TV.
Yeah, and so I look at obviously Kyrie Irving. I think leading this team, and I'm not saying Luka gets in the way, but right now after that meeting and Luka going out pretty much after that meeting, I know that he played in a game.
One more game.
But I look at this team and they do seem to be fighting for each other. They're trying their best to get rebounds and they're doing a pretty dang good job of it as they started off horrible at that. I keep wondering as we talk about Najee Marshall, 9 of 12 from the field last night. PJ Washington is on a really good stretch last night. Yeah, he didn't put up 20 points, but 5 of 11 is an efficient game from him. You'll take that. From him. Obviously, Jaden Hardy stepped up tremendously with Klay Thompson out and Luka still out. And I'm just wondering, is Luka seeing these things from his house and going, I can trust Najee Marshall. I can trust these guys to take something off of my plate. I'm going to set them up for success, but I don't have to do everything.
I really hope he does, because, you know, the more I watch this team, I thought a lot about what you've been saying kind of on that front in the last 5 days. This team they're playing their butts off, right? But they have a very defined ceiling, and that's probably not going particularly far in the playoffs.
For sure.
Not because of lack of effort or anything like that. Just hustle plays will sometimes only get you so far.
Right.
So I hope Luka is watching and not only thinking, like, I can trust these guys, but thinking, what's the ceiling with me in it? Because this level of effort and add Luka, the ceiling is a world title. I'm not saying that means they win the world title, but the ceiling is absolutely a world title. So I'm hoping that all those messages are falling in. Obviously, Luka will miss at least the Knicks game on Wednesday. And I know he'll be reevaluated on Friday. Personally, I wouldn't necessarily count the back-to-backs this weekend either.
I think this is really important. And Corey, I'll bring it back to the team you're mentioning. Boston last year, I know they had a tremendous year, easily won the championship. What these last 3 or 4 games have proven to me, Luka, you have a championship team. No excuses on we're not good enough here or there or this or that. This team beat Denver on the road. They went to Miami and went to overtime and lost. Atlanta's not a good team, but they're not horrible, especially with you're missing Klay Thompson, you're missing Luka. They fought their butts off at halftime after being down by 6, and they came back and won by 10. This team is proving everything is here to be a champion. Luka, you have no excuse not to win the championship this year. Injury could happen if he gets hurt and he can't play, to your point. Or if Kyrie were to get hurt and couldn't play in the playoffs. I totally get it.
Or at least, sorry, Mike, I don't mean to break your train of thought. Or at least maybe you go toe-to-toe with Boston and it doesn't go your way. And at least you know what you need to, like, tweak from there. And I'm not saying, I'm saying, like, no, that you lose, but you lose because it was like a battle and Boston just had it.
And I want to be honest as a Maverick fan, and you should too as this season progresses. If Luka wants to complain to a referee and not get back on defense, and it is just a wide open 3, bam, they make it, or an easy dunk, and then Luka is still in his own head screaming at the ref. Luka, it is all your fault. It is nobody else's fault. It's all of your fault that your team has now lost concentration, lost focus, because you have totally taken it away. You are the superstar. You could be the best player in the NBA, and you could win not only a championship. I believe he could win championships. This team is proving that it has everything there. But when you get outside of the game and decide to go, I'm just going to complain to the referee, or I'm going to fake an injury and not get back on defense, and then you see that the energy of the team is sapped out for the next 2 or 3 minutes, you did it all on your own, Luka.
Yeah.
You can blame PJ Washington for this or that, but it was all Luka who took away this energy. And this energy that the Mavs have, Luka, be a part of this energy. Improve this energy. Don't take away from this energy the Mavericks are creating.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Addison, where I believe we're about to match how many people we had at Addison Buffalo Wild Wings last year.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Probably pretty close.
I'm here.
What's the common denominator? The addition of Corey. And so Corey's the draw, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen to it.
Thank you.
Are you guys nervous with everybody just staring at us while we talk?
Not really.
Okay, good.
877-881-1053 if you want to get involved on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line in any of our conversations, or the Twitch or the YouTube Live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Addison. Coming up next, Mike will ask all the football questions.
Like last night, did that change your mind about Baltimore?
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Lamar takes a snap. Blitz pressure coming. Jackson fires. End zone. Touchdown! Mark Andrews!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. That was from the Monday night football game last night. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Addison. The Peace-a-thon website is up, 105.3thefan.com/peace-a-thon. And the 11th annual Peace-a-thon will get going tomorrow. But right now, Mike asks all the football questions.
All right. Based off of Monday night football last night, then we'll move into other questions.
Can I pause you for just 1 second? I apologize. I messed up the way I did the intro. I just wanted to tell everybody out there, if you have questions about any specific auction items, we could probably tell you like a lot more about them or how they were procured or whatever. If you're interested in bidding, feel free to hit us up. I bet we can help with
that. And I know Adrian is keeping an eye on the page. So people can comment there too, and she'll either ask us or she'll answer it herself.
Awesome.
Did you just hit your
mic? Yes, I did. Sorry. Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
All right.
I'm in a weird place between I'm exhausted and amped up at the same time.
And you're stressed out too.
Oh, my God, for sure.
So based off of last night, Baltimore, I still want to pick them. I can't pick them if they don't win the division, but I want to pick them to win the Super Bowl this year.
Okay.
I still feel like they're good enough to do it. Did anything change your mind last night on Baltimore? They're a game and a half back of Pittsburgh because they don't hold the tiebreaker right now because they lost to Pittsburgh head-to-head. Last night, Baltimore looked really good again against a good team and on the road. I'm wondering y'all's thoughts on Baltimore right now as a Super Bowl contender.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and answer your question, but I'm really intrigued to see what the Chargers do the next 2 weeks because to start the season, they had not given up more than 20 points in any game. Then last week, I know they won, but last week against the Bengals, they gave up 27, and last night, they gave up a season-high 30 to the Ravens. So I want to see, like, is the defense starting to really falter, or did you just go up against two high-level teams? I'm with you. If Baltimore can win this division, I think, even though they're 10-1, I think this is the most vulnerable the Chiefs have been in a minute, and obviously Buffalo is lurking as well. I am really excited to see those three teams because you assume like you'll get at least one, if not both, or two different matchups out of that.
Baltimore is legit offensively. They are a juggernaut. Defensively, they have not figured it out at all.
So that's a fair point.
I have a very difficult time when a team doesn't have a defense believing they will win that one game. But I think that they have the offense to get them to that game.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I still, like, the Chiefs are right there. The Bills are, like Kevin just said, like, they have a great combination of both. Oh, man, the Broncos are a weird team that I'm like
Broncos are moving, man.
Starting to get excited about right now. So, and the Texans have fallen off the map for me. I know they're two games up in their own division, but they don't look good at all, like we expected
Agreed.
Them to. So, yeah, man, I would put Baltimore right there at the top of it. It's just that one game, when it comes down to a game that we've seen multiple times now, defense is so important in that game as well as the offense.
If they can get to the 3 seed. I would feel more comfortable saying Baltimore. Like, probably right now, I'm not a gambler. Like, I don't have a website or I don't travel to Vegas to bet. But I think right now would be your best chance to bet on Baltimore to win the most money.
I agree. And, like, you were talking about this a week ago about jumping in on Bo Nix for Offensive Rookie of the Year before, obviously, now the money the advantage is not really there. I think you can still get a good price on Baltimore right now. I'm with you on that.
Okay, so now we'll move to around the NFL, and this is based off of Micah Parsons' post-game interview. And you know, if I'm not quoting him right, I'm pretty much getting it close enough. Kind of, we're not done. Watch out for the Cowboys in the second half.
We're not tanking. Yeah,
all of that. And the Cowboys are 4-7. So you guys both have the standings up right now. If you're looking at the standings, which team would you bet on that's under 500 right now? Because most teams have played 11 games.
I have two.
What team do you believe, or teams,
yes,
do you believe are going to make the playoffs, even though today they are under 500?
I'm going to go and throw out the Miami Dolphins and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, those
he said which team?
He said I could have multiple teams.
You took both of my teams, Kevin.
Okay,
I'll see you tomorrow.
I say only the Miami Dolphins, and I have no other opinion. Look, the Dolphins have been turning it on, and I'm telling you, man, Tua has this attitude about him that he's like, I'm going to show every one of you MFers who I am and what I've got. Now, I realize that could flip on a dime if he got hurt again, of course, but Miami has picked it up from like looking like one of the worst teams in the NFL to, I got a shot.
Their defense still isn't great, Miami's, but Chop is turning into a pretty good pressure guy. He replaced kind of Jalen Phillips. Jalen Phillips is constantly injured his entire career, and that offense has come back to life with Tua back out there. And now Jonnu Smith and what he's doing with that
has really turned it up too.
That changes the elements, because when Tyreek's not open downfield or whatever, now you got this underneath, and he's playing phenomenally, and then the running backs are great. But I'll go with the Buccaneers opposite that, because
That division stinks.
Atlanta is like you don't know exactly what they are. And so, whenever Mike Evans is on the field for Baker Mayfield, they are a far better offense.
So your logic maybe diverges a little bit in terms of why Tampa could make it as opposed to Miami. Tampa's like, hey, your division sucks. Mm-hmm. You got a shot. Whereas Miami, I just feel like you might be able to surge away into wild card. They ain't winning that division, obviously.
Yeah, the thing about that division in the South is it's been like that for, what, 3-4 years now?
Yeah.
Where you're just like, I mean, I guess Tom Brady was there like 4 years ago. But other than that, it's been kind of up and down and not really that good in general.
Somebody asked Mike, what's your drink of the day going to be?
I don't have one today. One, I need to lose some weight, and drinking doesn't really help with that.
Vodka only.
But there's a lot of day left today, so if you want to come here and drink, have a great time. You know, I'm not telling you not to, but I feel like for my day, what I have planned the rest of the day would be tough for me to start drinking now.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I had like more vacation day. Don't mind that at all.
So we need to push for more vacation day for Mike, is what you're saying.
Oh, I don't know if now, that is what I took away from that.
Now, you guys didn't name the Rams or the 49ers, so I'll go to this question. In the NFC West, Seattle and Arizona are both 6-5. L.A. and San Francisco are 5-6.
Okay.
Who do you think wins that division and why?
Mike, I like to answer all of your football questions.
Oh, it's a bad question?
No, it's a good question. Oh. It's a great question. That was one of the questions I was thinking about for overreaction or reality. My point is, I legitimately have no effing clue who's going to win this division. Because every time I think a team steps up, like you think Arizona's got it. Oh, not so fast. You think, well, once San Francisco gets back from some of their injuries, then they lose Brock Purdy and they get freaking rolled. Mike, I hate to do this. It's a great question. I have no freaking clue who's going to win that division.
There are only two teams with a positive point differential in that, and they are the 6-5 teams. Seattle, is their point differential is +2.
Plus two. So not really. Like
the Cardinals'
Chiefs
point differential is +8. And then the Rams is negative, and the Niners are flat at 260 and 260. Oh. So, like, yeah, no, I don't know. I don't have a clue who's going to win that division. I'll pick Arizona as a coin flip just because they're at the top right now. I think this is the year that San Francisco doesn't make it, though.
And part of me still wants to think that San Francisco will figure it out. But, man, they got
the injuries are a problem.
Destroyed
like,
last
the
week.
Injuries are just a problem
the
for
weekend.
Them and
yes.
their defense.
Yes.
Again, their physical style that they play so much, because they played so much football over the last few years, I think it's starting to take a toll on them.
Okay. So my next football question is, Saturday, my wife was done with surgery. I was taking care of her. Kids didn't have a basketball tournament or a baseball tournament. So it was a rare Saturday where I sat home and watched college football.
Oh, okay.
So this is Mike Ask All the Football Questions. It doesn't have to be NFL. I watched every second of the Colorado-Kansas game. I like Shedeur Sanders. I've seen highlights of him. I've watched him play before. I can't tell you I've watched all of his snaps.
What a dirty hit that was, by the way, on
the
him.
Knees.
That was nasty, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. I like Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
I don't love him. I get that he might be the number one pick, as in like a team would trade up. Like Jacksonville, I'm 99% sure won't take a quarterback if they have the first pick. But I understand that he could be the first quarterback in this draft. How much do you guys think Shedeur Sanders is going to be a great, successful NFL quarterback? Because what I saw, I'm like, I'm not sure I would take him, but I'm not sure.
So I think one of the reasons that he's kind of solidified his spot at the top of the quarterback rankings is not only because of him and their team's success, it's how much two other candidates have fallen off. So Beck with Georgia and Ewers with Texas, those are the two guys that I thought it was going to be like a kind of a three-person race to the top. Like if you had three different entities racing to get to a brand new place like Mars or something. And so there's three different teams or three different quarterbacks that I thought were going to get to the top. Beck's fallen off because he just hasn't played well. Ewers has fallen off just because he's faced some injury issues. And that's kind of left Shedeur not only by himself, but largely by himself at the top of the list.
Yeah, it's crazy, too, because Kansas is a terrible team. So to lose to them, we have a total here right now that's a big Kansas fan. So.
Face, Sean.
Big 12 is horrible. But I'm not going to lie. Like watching Big 12 football versus other conferences, the Big 12, out of the Power Four, they're fourth.
Yeah, I still think Travis Hunter is the number one overall pick. But when it comes to quarterbacks,
but if you needed a quarterback, you're going to take a quarterback.
He's accurate. He moves around in the pocket well. I think a lot of people do look at the pedigree and they see that and they've known his name for a very long, very much like Trevor Lawrence. Name since high school.
I'm sorry. Can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah.
Because somebody just said he's got an attitude problem. Do you believe that, like, as much as people know him for his last name, they are attributing any, like, perceived attitude problem to, well, he's a Sanders. He's probably got an attitude. Like, I don't know if he would come under the same, like, just attitude scrutiny.
I think there's a little of that probably that people that have been around the NFL for a while go, hey, he is Deion's kid. Remember when Deion was the first one to figure out, like Troy and Michael and Emmett didn't know this because they were under Jimmy. Deion was never under Jimmy. So they're like, you can't just go to Jerry and bypass the coach. And Deion's like, watch this.
Yeah.
And Deion got practice schedules changed. Deion was the first one to kind of show everybody here, you do not have to pay attention to the coach. You can go to Jerry and Jerry will change everything. And the coach really doesn't have a say here. Deion was the first one to expose that, and then other players followed. So I'm not saying Deion was like this, but I'm sure like some people are like, well, I was around in the 90s or whatever, and I remember when Deion did this. It's not fair to Shedeur, but that's the reality of it.
I do also wonder, because Deion was a pretty successful player. Despite that, a lot of people might consider that as a distraction, he was pretty successful because he was that talented.
Yeah.
And I wonder if a lot of people look at it and go, no, that's actually good. Like, that's a good quality. We like that at the quarterback position, and we'll take that.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things about him, though, Mike. I think it does go back to NFL scouts have known his name just like Trevor Lawrence since they saw him at the quarterback schools.
I would say this. I would not compare those two, because in ninth grade, Archie Manning saw Trevor Lawrence and said, when God created the perfect quarterback, he created Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Nobody said that about Shedeur. They're like, oh, I like him. He's nice. He's a top 10 quarterback in his class. I don't think they're like, God created that dude to be the best. And he might be. He might be unbelievable. I just wanted to like him more.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see that game and go, wow.
You wanted to see more poise out of him.
He was fine. He was good. He wasn't great. He was good. I'm just like, and he could in the right system, right coach, right every. But I was like, I don't know. But I could be totally wrong. I'm wrong about Trevor Lawrence. I'd like to explain. I'm wrong about Trevor Lawrence being as great as I thought he was going to be.
That's a good question, though. You just said that. Can he play for another coach? He's played under his dad this whole time in college. So I don't know exactly how he responds to somebody else and how they would coach him.
We're out of time, but I mentioned this yesterday. I'll mention it again. I really like that Devin Neal running back.
Okay. I'm not
saying first round pick.
I don't want to dissuade you from that at all. I just want to point out that was by far his best game of the season.
I saw it.
I don't want to.
That dude can catch. He can run. He can miss tackles. He can run through people. I was like, third, fourth round, if that kid's sitting there, I think he's rated like the 10th best running back in this draft class right now.
Yeah.
I asked Broadus. He's like, look, I've not looked at the top 10 running backs in this class yet. I've looked at, obviously, Ginty, who he super loves, and I totally get it, even though he sat out the second half of the last game that I was trying to watch.
Wasn't that because they were kicking ass?
No, they barely won.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What? Okay.
It was like, I think they won 17-13.
Oh, man.
Or at least when he went out of the game, they were like losing 13-10.
Okay.
Was it 17-13 was the final score? Yeah, we got a total. So I was like.
Over Wyoming, yeah. Okay,
Mike, good. We have an awesome Rangers update for Baseball Nuggets.
Then you just teased Baseball Nuggets. We're done with football.
Next right here on The Fan, and we're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Addison. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Addison. Already having a good time celebrating birthdays, busting people's chops. We're having a good time this morning. Peace-a-thon is tomorrow, but right now, it's time to go and do some baseball nuggets.
All right, you got it. I know you're about to go.
I was halfway there to screw it up.
NFL, we're going around the NFL.
Halfway there.
Here we go.
The baseball season's not even happening.
Gosh. Hey, Corey, you got baseball nuggets.
Thank you to our Tolo Ryan Dant, who sent this over to me. It's from Evan Grant. That kind of rhymes.
Sometimes I feel bad. He sends a lot of stuff that's good. Then sometimes he sends things that I'm like, I get it. It is interesting. I was like, I just don't have room today.
If he wants to be a producer, hit me up. I want to see what's going on there.
A lot of pressure on you, Alec.
No, not to replace Alec.
All right, I'll see you guys. Alec.
No, sure it is. Alec, every 18 months, we get a new one.
Alec already got replaced on somebody else's auction with Reggie again, so that happened.
Yes, I saw that.
Evan Grant has said that, for those wondering, Evan Carter is swinging a bat, according to the Rangers. He's expected to be ready without restriction for spring training, as are Seager, Young, and Adolis Garcia. I guess that doesn't mean that all of them are swinging bats, but they're expected to be ready for spring training without restriction. That seems like pretty significant news for all four of those.
Yes. Now, it's early, but the Rangers need to get to the end of spring training with those four guys ready to go. The offense, Chris Young talked about in an interview that I didn't get to yesterday, but he pretty much said, look, the league made an adjustment to our offense as a whole, and they were throwing heaters up in the zone, and the Rangers couldn't hit. They literally, as a team, individually at times, yes, Corey Seager individually at times got to that pitch, but as a team, they're like, here is their shooto. If you ever watched
Mr. Baseball,
they cannot hit 95 or above at the top of the zone, and they will chase above the zone as a team. If we're just going to go off of a general, Texas Rangers cannot do this. And Chris Young is like, man, we didn't really make much adjustments to it. We were very stubborn. His word was stubborn in the approach the Rangers had last year. And he's like, that has to adjust, because the league adjusted to how great we were in 2023 offensively, and they made the adjustment, and we did not make adjustments quick enough. And we will see. Obviously, they lost their hitting coach to Atlanta. That was a choice by the hitting coach.
Yeah.
Hires, right, Tim Hires?
Yes.
And now they brought in, I want to say, Veal or Vile. I need to.
Yeah, I just
Justin,
got that.
I think is his first name.
I just
name.
Got that email confirming that.
But,
yeah, Justin Veal.
Yeah, yeah, so that will be an adjustment that we need to see made,
yeah,
but we need those guys healthy. We talked about yesterday the left side of the infield, even winning the championship, dealt with major injuries, with Young and Seager missing major time in the championship year. And so you'd hope that you don't have to go through, hey, we need at least 100 games, if not 120 games, of a different third baseman or a different shortstop because of injuries.
That being said, that thought is still at least in the back of your head or for planning purposes, is it not?
I think if you're Chris Young, you have to look at it and go, history would suggest I'm going to need a different starting shortstop for 40 games next year.
Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope that we get the surprise and we go, wow, Corey Seager played 140 games at shortstop and 10 at DH. But I have to be realistic with who Corey Seager has been in his career and with the Rangers and go, he's probably going to miss 40 games at shortstop. Who's playing those 40 games at shortstop that he's not going to be there? I'm going to realistically look at Josh Young and go, realistically, he's going to miss 60 games. I hope I'm totally wrong and we get the healthy Josh Young year.
Yep.
But realistically, who's playing the 60 games that Josh Young is going to be out because of injury?
Yeah.
So
that's a good question.
I hope I'm wrong on that. I hope you get positive signs on that. Now, I wanted to go to this baseball nugget, and it is the Boston Red Sox. I get it. Who cares about the Boston Red Sox, this and that? Well, the Rangers took advantage of the Red Sox rebuilding after the 2018 championship they won. They decided, look, we put a lot of money into this thing, and we won. Mookie won. Chris Sale won. We had this team that had a lot of players on that we've moved on from, and we've rebuilt. And I do like the core of their team,
yeah.
And so do the Red Sox. And they're like, you know what? The Yankees are really good. The Rays are kind of falling off. Toronto's in a weird place. They fell off, but they're not – on paper, they're not bad, but they had a very disappointing year.
This might sound like a super weird question, and I don't know if you'll be able to answer it or not. With the Rays, do you think any, like, mental struggles will come along next season with, hey, we can't play in our stadium, we're here at, you know, spring training ballpark?
I wonder about that with Oakland. I think Oakland's a 500 team. I think that's an 80-win team easy. But I don't know in Sacramento.
Okay.
That's the one thing is I saw that Oakland team in the second half and I said, here they come again.
Yeah.
Those guys have figured out another way how to build a team that could be a nuisance in the American League West. But they're going to have to play on a 140-degree field in July and August and September.
Yeah, yeah.
So good luck with that, Sacktown. All right. Then I look at Tampa. They're going to deal with humidity that no team has to deal with. They're going to have to deal with rain delays. They're going to have to deal with a lot of crap. Crowd-wise, it's going to be the same. Like 5,000 people showed up to the top. 5,000 people show up to a minor league spring training stadium to watch them play. It'll be about the same crowd. But the Red Sox are now going to go back into spending, and it looks like they're going to try to spend big. They want Soto. They'll probably not. I don't think they're going to get Soto, but they're in on that. They're in on Corbin Burns. They're in on Max Fried. They're in on Nathan Eovaldi. They're in on a lot of the big-time free agents. They're in on this one. Surprise me. They're in on Willy Adames. And you're like, who's that? Milwaukee Brewers shortstop, really good player. They drafted Marcelo Meyer, who's getting really close to being ready. Also, if I'm saying his name wrong, I'm sorry, because I really liked watching him play last year. Sedania.
Okay.
He plays center field and shortstop and is a good center fielder and a good shortstop. And I'm like, well, it makes sense. He's going to be the center fielder. And Marcelo Meyer, their big-time pick that's from high school that is developed now and about ready to make the major leagues. But they're thinking about signing a shortstop to a major deal. Then I'm like, well, what are they going to do with their number one prospect, who's a top 10 prospect in all of baseball?
And just a side note for the Red Sox, when you said, I don't really think they're going to get Soto, is the consensus because it's the Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, and then everybody else, you can put them all together in a category?
I think so.
Okay.
But what they're saying is they have a lot of money to spend, and they're going to, say they're going to want to spend it. Obviously, if they strike out on Soto and Burns and Snell and Fried and Eovaldi and Adames, and well, then they might be like, let's just keep developing this team, like literally kind of San Francisco Giants. Everybody said no to us. But I do think that the Rangers have a little bit of an issue in maybe keeping Eovaldi, and other teams are going to look at this and go, crap, one of the big-time markets is going to be a big-time market again.
Yeah.
And so now you have the competition of the Red Sox, and over the signing DeGrom, signing Seager, signing Semien, signing a couple other guys that you liked. Well, you never had to worry about the Red Sox because they were trying to build a team. They feel like they've built the core.
But now they're back in
the mix. Now they're ready to add big-time free agents to it. So that is a team this offseason in a couple weeks. We'll have the winter meetings here at the Anatole in Dallas. I think the Red Sox, I remember them making a big splash at the Anatole 24 years ago. Let's see if you guys can get
it. I was 19.
Okay.
Manny Ramirez?
Manny Ramirez at the Anatole, signed with the Boston Red Sox.
So and people here at Buffalo Wild Wings Nest and can see, I did not look on my phone or my computer.
Yeah.
That was pure brain power.
Yeah, so we'll see if the Red Sox are a major player signing teams, but all articles are saying the Red Sox are eyeing to be a major player in this year's free agent market.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Addison. If you want to come and join us, and now we have definitely surpassed last year's total already. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Plus, countdown to Peace-a-thon. Why do we do it? What we'll have? And the site is live. All of it next right here on the Fan.